Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. Mail it in Friday here on Overdrive, brought to you by our friends at Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker. And now up on TSN 2 for the final hour, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. And you see Zion Williamson out indefinitely with a fractured finger. And what that means for him the rest of the way, I guess, probably means he's done for the year at this point.
Of course.
Yeah, he's done for the year. And they're probably not making the playoffs, but they are still technically within range. They're in 11th in the West, and they're a game and a half back of San Antonio. Six games to go.
Where are you at with the trajectory of that supposed mega star, Hazy B?
I can't argue that this guy has been everything that we expected he would be. You know, the injuries are concerning. Like his rookie year, he didn't even start. Remember last year, we were there. We were in the building down at Scotiabank. It was supposed to be Raptors Pelicans opening night.
Yeah, but it's not. You say you claim you're happy with everything. I thought it was like through the moon LeBron stuff.
I'm telling you, man. You look at his stats. It's not far off. It's not LeBron. Like expecting him to be LeBron, though, I think is probably.
I did not say that, but I thought it was going to be something like that, where you're like, okay, like next year, take his team on a run, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Didn't they change the bubble rules basically so that his team
They wanted him in. They wanted him in.
Absolutely, they did. But
because he moves the needle.
He moves the needle, and you look at his numbers again. They are like he's averaging 27 a game. 7 rebounds, 3.7 assists. I mean, this guy's numbers are off the charts for his second year in the league, and he has not put them on his back. But I wouldn't be shocked if by next year they're a definitive playoff team. I think they need to add some pieces around him. Lonzo Ball is still down there, and Lonzo is what he is. He's a good point guard. He's not a superstar, but he's a good player. Brandon Ingram. They've got some money to splash around, I believe. They've got some young pieces. They've got some picks. So it's about moving the right pieces and making sure you put in the right guys to surround him with enough talent to make that next step. But I think Zion has covered his own back in terms of the expectations, and he's just not in a market. Like, I guess it's similar to Cleveland. Like, when LeBron went to – it's not like anyone cared about Cleveland for the most part. And New Orleans – it's one of those weird American markets that is just kind of middle of the pack. Yeah.
Nobody cared about Cleveland until Bron made it like the place to be, and ESPN was there all the time, and all the big games were there. And all of a sudden it was like, that's what great players do, man. They make the place cool.
Absolutely.
John Tavares got the Islanders out of being just a dump, and people were Islander people again. And it was just, it's amazing how the jersey looks different and everything around it because of one player can look cool again.
I think he's doing that. I think it's not there complete. I mean, right now they're probably going to miss the playoffs, and now if he's out for the remainder of the year, which he will be, they're most likely going to miss the playoffs. But
he is doing it. I think he's got to take him on a run in a couple years, like to say, okay, no more, we're the doormat here.
It's got to be quick.
Right.
Yeah, it does have to be quick. Like LeBron did it his third year in the league. His first 2 years in Cleveland, they were pretty terrible. And then his third year, they made it to the playoffs, and then they never looked back. They made it to the playoffs every single year. And his fourth year, I believe, he got them to the NBA Finals. So, it happened quickly. You need help, though, right? Like the NBA, we know the way it works. Once you get that main piece, you've got to supplement him. You've got to give him a couple of pieces around him that can help boost when he runs into injury problems or when he has an off night or runs into a team that can defend him properly. It's got to be at least two, if not three, and a supporting cast that's good enough. But I think they're on their way in New Orleans, and I think Zion is going to be that guy. I think he's going to be, I'd argue, he already is a face of the face of the league.
Sure.
Just his personality, the way he plays, the numbers he's been putting up. So it's disappointing that he's injured, done for the year. Injuries have been an issue for him, clearly, even going back to Duke.
Dude, remember him ripping off his shoe, ripping off of his body? That's when I realized
so
I'm
powerful.
Like, this guy's an animal.
Yeah, an animal. And it was Nike, remember? And he still signed with Nike. That almost guaranteed him that Nike was going to pay him a boatload to make sure that they rectified that issue.
Yeah. I'm surprised Al's brother or myself, one of our shoes didn't rip apart during the run.
When are we getting back into that? What is the timeline? I've had a few.
I don't want to. I'll tease it.
Okay.
Let's just say the 200 meter is going to happen in the next couple weeks.
Really? Because I get
the
to talk
200
to
meter in the next couple weeks, and if your bald buddy from Edmonton rips me anymore about putting GIFs on Twitter, I'll start putting bald people out there for him.
Well, you should. I mean, Strutty, he loves that, but You know he likes to put a quarter in us and get it. He always takes shots at me, believe me. Like, you guys think that it's just you two. There's always a comment about or a backhand.
Oh, you get it worse than anyone else. Yeah, he's not shy about you on Twitter.
Keep in mind, I hosted his roast, so for about an hour and a half, I just got to chew him alive. And believe me, it was unbelievable. I had such fun.
I missed out on that opportunity. I had the invitation to go out.
You got invited. That's
right.
I did.
I was speaking. Jason Greger was behind that, and I'm like, I think I can get out to Edmonton. And it was – didn't the timing change?
It was originally supposed to be –
It got moved.
It was weird,
I think the reason was my daughter was being born. It was supposed to be in May, and I'm like, I just can't make it at that point.
Then
once I said no and the date changed, I was like, I guess I'm out. But I'll bet you Duthie has hosted a bunch of roasts. He's the go-to guy for hosting events and stuff. And I guess he hasn't really had the opportunity to do that for the past year. He's not alone in that. Here is James Duthie from TSN. Do you miss the opportunity to get in front of the mic at golf tournaments and all that? I'll bet you do that a ton.
I don't know. I don't say I miss it. I've done a few Zoom ones, and those are really weird when you can't see people. And especially when, like, I was doing one last week for, I think, Canada Post, and they have an award show that I host every year, and so they'd like me to do like a monologue, and I keep telling them I'm not a comedian. Anybody who sees me on TV knows I'm not a comedian. But they want a monologue like the Oscars show. And so this time I'm doing it, and I can't see everyone. So you're doing like 7 minutes of what I call material, and you're just staring into a screen in your room. And I didn't even have it on like gallery view, so I couldn't
Did
even
you
see
have
the faces.
Puffy on the drums going like bada ba ba boom after every one of your
I mean, everything was pure tumbleweeds, and I'm not sure if it was or not. It probably was, but it was that was painful. So at least a live audience, you know if you suck.
Isn't that the worst feeling in the world? I had a Zoom yesterday for a presentation, and it was with some people in Russia. So there was an interpreter, and I made a joke, and I had to wait to see if there was a smile that would come back from
oh,
the people.
No way.
And I was waiting and waiting, and then I saw one guy smile. I was like, I nailed it. You know what I mean?
It landed in Moscow.
It landed. It was so funny. But, like, I can't – I've done a few of those speaking engagements, and it is tough when nobody laughs at your joke. It's
right.
Embarrassing.
Oh, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying.
Hayes, you've done some speaking.
I've done them, and I've been the go-to guy for emceeing weddings. You know, I've emceed a bunch of weddings, and that one's really tough because everyone is in a good mood and they want to laugh naturally, right? So if you miss as an emcee of a wedding where people are in the good spirits and they're willing to hook you up, you know you really missed. Like you really swung and missed. And
wedding
it can be
brutal wedding speeches are
the
worst.
Most cringeworthy experience of life is a bad speech at a wedding. The
Ask
worst.
Bill Hayes.
My dad's got the worst of all time.
Which one's that?
It was my older sister's wedding. I'm banned from mentioning it. I might get kicked out of the family, and not from him, from my sister. She's mortified.
Well, I could tell one. I had several Jamaican buddies back in Ottawa, and so there was a wedding, and I'm trying to avoid the names, even though there's no chance they're listening to this program, but let's just say the best man and the other guy, one was named Everton, and they hung out all the time, best buddies, and I think it was, you know, no one's going to care. I think his name was Little John, was giving the speech, and he was absolutely hammered. And so he gets up there, and I won't even try to do a Jamaican accent, but it's hard to do the story without trying to do a Jamaican accent. But he's like, oh, me and Everton had some great times, man. Even when he was living with Sharon, we'd bring some girls back home in the basement.
Oh, no.
Sharon would be sleeping upstairs, man. The reaction, just dead silence. The guy's got his head on his desk, on the table, and that was my all-time. I wanted to walk out of the room, yeah. And I wasn't even remotely involved. I was just friends of another guy in the wedding party.
That's sickening.
Horrifying.
Sickening.
Oh. Yes.
But that's
no idea what happened to Everton, like, and his girl. Sorry?
What were you thinking? You just want to say to people, like, why would you think that story with Everton doing work?
Well, no, I don't think he planned it. I really think he was so drunk out of his mind that he just forgot what he was talking about. But I think he passed it off as a joke, tried to pass it off as a joke after, and the bride, I think, bought it. But it was, it was a moment.
Those are the ones that you hear about. Those are the ones that really they reach out, right? They catch the grapevine.
Well, they go forever.
They go forever because everyone's heard of a guy who said, you know, something about how I didn't think you should marry her, and you're like, what are you doing, dude? Like, we're at the wedding right now. Yeah. Like, you're the best man. You can't say that, or you can't talk about other women. You know, and it happens. Somehow.
I will say it, not to this level whatsoever, but I completely blew my wedding speech because I had a little too much champagne and my grandmother had died. And so I did the old just passed away grandmother thing. And I think there was a few tears, wish she was here. And then I kind of lost my focus and thanked my parents. And I sat down and said, oh, thanks for everybody for coming. I sat down and I could see my mom in the front, you know, on the table at the front. And she's mouthing at me going, Cheryl, Cheryl. And I'm like, what? You didn't say anything about Cheryl, who happened to be my wife.
Right.
So then I had to, like, get up and grab the mic away from the MC. Well, yeah, one more thing. Baby, yeah. I love you.
An important, the reason we're here tonight. Like,
the reason we're here tonight. Back.
Yeah, that one hurts.
Yeah, that wasn't a good moment for me.
But listen, people get nervous too, right? Like, if you're not a natural speaker, and especially in a public forum with everyone you know.
I don't think it matters even with your own wedding speech. You know, even if you're a broadcaster, it's still a challenge, right?
It is.
Because it's your whole life sitting right there in front of you. So.
Yep, absolutely. With James Duthie. So we've been doing the Matthews and McDavid thing a lot recently, mm-hmm. really all year we've been doing it. And I think it just comes upon us naturally. And I think anyone that is watching hockey, anyone that's a hockey fan in this country, how can you turn away from it? It's just truly incredible. Which one, if we could play the you know, jump in a I guess time capsule and go back to early January game. Mm-hmm. If I were to tell you one of these guys is going to score 100 points and the other guy is going to score 40,
mm-hmm.
which one do you think would have felt like more of an impossibility at the time?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I guess I would say 100, I guess. I mean, I think they're almost equal. If if this was a quiz question at the beginning of the season, it's almost a 50-50 split because they both seem rather ludicrous. And I don't care. The people can criticize the one division and weaker teams and all that crap, and maybe there's a little something to that, but those are remarkable seasons. I think they're probably the two most remarkable individual seasons we've seen in the salary cap era for what they've accomplished in 56 games. And the other thing I would say, and I'm still not answering your question, is thank goodness we have them, because my personal opinion is that the Canadian division that we were all so excited about ended up being extremely anticlimactic, that playing, McDavid versus Matthews 8 or 9 times ended up being too much and lost the luster. And a big part of that was that there was no playoff races. And so the spots were basically set a few weeks ago. And there was nothing else except McDavid and Matthews chasing these two milestones for basically the last month of the season. And so thank goodness we had those two things, because I think they're the only two things we'll remember about this regular season.
I think you're right up here. Yeah, I think that's very valid. Like, the Leafs have separated themselves in terms of the standings, and they were kind of always in that position. I guess the coach firings up here is something I think when the dust settles, we'll look back and say, wow, like Claude Julien, pretty established seasoned vet, gets gonged. And we know what happened in Calgary. The fact that Daryl Sutter came back, and it obviously has not worked. But you're probably right in terms of ranking what will be remembered, Matthews and McDavid.
And probably what happened to Vancouver.
And Vancouver. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I think that's part of what I was saying, too, is what happened to the Canucks, I think, took a little bit of luster off the season. The North was pretty much rolling along. Montreal had one little issue there. But what happened with Vancouver, I think we all felt a little bit of, oh, man, is this thing worth it? Or is it worth it to make them play, you know, what they're playing now in this last month of the season? I think that it sort of took a little shine off everything that we'd been through over the last few months. So, yeah, I ended up being disappointed. And this was my fear at the beginning of this thing, is it sounded great. We were excited. I think overall it was a success. You know, overall it was good. But it ended up, you know, the All-Canadian every night ended up getting a little bit old. And I don't think we necessarily thought that would happen. It might have been a much different story, you know, if Ottawa hadn't got off to the awful start and Calgary wasn't awful and there was a, you know, three-way race for the last playoff spot or something, it might have been more intriguing. But instead, those two guys that you mentioned are basically been the focus for the last month or so.
I know it got kind of glossed over, and I hope it's not that big of a deal, but did you guys, I don't think we talked about, like, there was, I think, 8 workers at Scotiabank that
happened
positive.
Recently, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was a couple days ago, and all I could think about is, like, oh, no. You know what I mean? Like, we just saw, I mean, we saw what happened to Dallas at the start of the year, we saw what happened to Buffalo, and we've seen, and Vancouver's still trying to come out of it. And I'm like, I'm just, fingers crossed, nobody else, you know, like,
come playoff time, too. Like, ever, clearly. That goes without saying. No one wants anyone to ever deal with it, but you're right. I mean, that could still derail, I believe, teams in the south of the border. Like, I haven't heard anything about vaccinations with the NHL teams. I know a lot of them are getting it. I know in baseball,
sure, like, all the U.S. teams are vaccinated.
I'm sure they're close, but I think it might be going slower than you think. I mean, with baseball, I want to say they're up to 11 or 13 teams that have hit the 85% threshold.
Well,
but
Jamie,
still,
wouldn't the teams in the States just say, everyone after practice, like, we'll have the vaccinations and the team doctor is going to administer them?
My understanding is that, yeah, you're
because but you can't force a guy to take it.
Nope,
that's the point.
It's a personal decision. But my understanding is they would have it available for not just the team, but their loved ones, anybody who wants to be in that mix, right? Anybody who's in their, what do you call that, cohort?
Their bubble.
Their bubble, whatever. Like, you know, it's not just the player. It's what the player exposes himself to on a daily basis, because they've got wives, they've got kids, they've got maybe their parents in town, extended families, you name it. So it depends, again, individual state where you are. But I know a few guys that are fully vaccinated, but it's not newsworthy. You know,
I think
I mean?
the leagues were very careful to be patient. They didn't want to ever feel like they went ahead of anyone in the line, and perhaps overly cautious in a way. But, you know, once it got to the point in the States, and I think it was there about a month ago, where anybody who could get one could get one. I mean, you could basically walk off the street. Canadians were going down there. I know our crew, you know, some of the guys, the Masters, vaccines were just everywhere, essentially. Yeah. So I'd be surprised if there weren't, if there were teams that didn't have the majority of players vaccinated.
Yeah, that's probably valid and true. I guess it just comes down to which guys don't want to take it for whatever reason.
Well, and that's the big issue in the States right now, that they're, and I don't want to get into the whole news side of things, but I think Canada will end up passing the U.S. as far as the percentage of people vaccinated, because there were studies, that's the problem the U.S. is running into now, that they may never reach herd immunity because there's, you know, this 30% of the population that either is anti-vaxxers or has some sort of fear of the vaccine. And I believe the percentage in the Canadian polls is, you know, 80% or 84% say they're going to have it. So sometime this summer, you may see Canada, at least with a first dose, pass the U.S. as far as that goes.
So
the one other thing. Sorry?
We can golf then?
Yeah. Don't even get me started. But the one other thing with you talking about the Scotiabank, I think we're probably at the point now where you're not going to see the winner of the North Division play in Canada. And that was still up in the air. But if you look at who are the two favorites to win, it's Toronto and Edmonton. Winnipeg certainly has a shot. Montreal certainly has a shot, but good chance it's going to be the Leafs or the Oilers, and those are the two provinces having the biggest issues right now, and we're only a month away from being in the third round, a month and change, I guess, so probably 6 weeks or 5.5 weeks away from being in the third round of the playoffs. So my betting money would be on the Canadian team having to play at that neutral host city or whatever, which, again, I think I brought this up to you before, Hayes, but as a Leafs fan, it's going to be really weird if they go there and, you know, they're playing in a strange city without Leaf fans there.
Oh, it's going to be, especially if they sell tickets. I mean, that, I think there's a chance the Blue Jays, like, they could be in the World Series in Buffalo.
Like, I think, now, what would happen? I haven't followed baseball as much, but if, I think we're going to be in much better shape by August, September in Canada. So will the Jays just move back whenever Canada deems it them ready?
I would assume so, but I think it would also come down to who's allowed in the park. I mean, if you're going to come home, they're probably, you know, thinking, can we come home and also allow people into the building in terms of fans? I'm sure there'd be a limitation on that, but
I think so. In October, you could see 25,000-30,000 in for.
I think you're probably right. I hope you're right anyway. But you know,
so do I.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And listen, they got to get to the World Series. I'm not calling my shot that that's a lock to happen. But big games in September, packed barn down in Buffalo. That's going to be tough to swallow on the other side of the border. But we'll see. It's almost go time in terms of the playoffs. So we're looking forward to it. We'll do it again well before then. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, bye.
There he is, James Duffy from TSN. Jeff Blum will join us down in Houston. George Springer was supposed to make his return tonight. Will not happen, as we know. George was speaking to the media earlier today. We'll see what Jeff can tell us about that. What do you think Springer will look like when he returns from injury? And what's the vibe like down in Houston? They were complaining. They weren't happy that people in New York were still mad at them for the big scandal from a few years ago. So we'll catch up with Jeff. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Jeff Blum will join us here in a moment. Houston Astros analyst, former MLB-er himself. We'll get his take on the legacy of George Springer down there in Houston. He's back in town but not playing. Mm-hmm. And he's not playing anytime soon. Just reading between the lines and even just hearing from him and going over his quotes, because he was speaking with the media about an hour ago. It's almost as if he's aware, like, I got to really take a step back here. And it's just so disappointing because he's played basically two games, you know, and they're 30 games into the season.
Dude, we say on this show every day, pro sports is about asset management, hanging on to guys, trading guys, signing guys. Right. It's also about the in-season management of your own talent like that. And that's bad asset management, dude. There's no other way around that. You can't do that. You can't screw that up.
Well, what you definitely can't do is screw it up again. All right. So, you know, it started with an oblique issue, right? And that's how it started. And then all of a sudden it's a quad issue that has really caused him the problems.
Do you not like my golden rule?
Once you're back, give it an extra week or whatever it is?
7 days after you think you're ready to go, because that's when you're ready to go.
I'd probably do it now. You know, like, I understand his anticipation. Yeah. He wants to make his debut. He wants to play. He's getting paid a lot of money. He's new in the clubhouse. He's the big dog. Here he is, the winner. You know, he's won a World Series. Won a World Series MVP. Let's see it. And man, did he make himself a debut! Like that Saturday night last week, he hit two bombs. One of them 470 feet, and he ties the game in the seventh. You're like, all right, here it is, mic drop moment. George Springer's officially here. He's arrived. Let's go. The next day, he's out. Based on fatigue, whatever the hell that means. And then he doesn't play on Monday, and now he's on the IL. And to chat about it, we're joined now by a guy who's very familiar with Springer, covers the Astros down in Houston as an analyst, longtime MLB-er. Jeff Blum joins us back on Overdrive. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. How disappointing is it down there, the fact that Springer is in town speaking with the media, but he won't be playing tonight or this weekend for that matter?
Well, it all depends. I know it's disappointing for you guys, but now that he's in a different uniform, it's not so disappointing. It's good. It's good to see a smiling face. But like you guys were just talking about, the lethality of his bat in a lineup brings a lot of concern. And knowing that he's not going to be in the lineup tonight is a dynamic that the pitchers for the Astros don't have to worry about.
So, how would you define his legacy in Houston?
It's borderline being a saint. Everything he's done in the city of Houston, you know, we knew a lot about George before he even arrived on the scene. You know, he was in AAA becoming almost a 40-40 type guy, and then he got to the big leagues, and he was really he was the spark plug or the energy source that this organization had been needing for a good decade, and he brought it, and he brought a lot of talent with him, and he brought leadership, and everything he did on the field, like you guys talked about, with the World Series MVP was astonishing. But it was everything he brought off the field, too. Everybody knows that his stuttering has been, you know, storied and talked about, and he does interviews no matter what. So he's brought a lot of life to people who maybe don't watch baseball and are casual fans that have the same issues that he does. And he's just made it, you know, a one big party around George Springer. He's been a blessing to wherever he's been.
We were just talking about the injury, and then he came back and injured again. We're just disappointed, I guess, as people that cover the Toronto teams, and we don't get to see him out there. Who's to blame for the mismanagement of that, or is that just baseball? Sometimes you come back and it doesn't work out.
You know, I'd like to blame it on baseball, but, you know, I know George, in his history with the Astros, he did have some injury issues, and the Astros organization is a little more cautious with bringing guys back. I don't know how it is in Toronto, so it may be, you know, getting to learn George a little bit, getting to learn the injury a little bit, and I'm sure a little bit was some of the excitement of George wanting to go out there and prove he's worth the contract that was given to him, and maybe prematurely got out there and went a little too hard too early. But I agree with what you guys are saying in the sense that, you know, you do have to make sure that you're ready to go out there, because if you are going to produce for a long time, especially in a game of baseball where you're playing every day, it's better to err on the side of caution so you spend more time on the field. But hopefully this is just a little blip in the radar and he gets back out there sooner than later and produces and shows what he's worth to everybody in Toronto.
With Jeff Blum, Houston Astros analyst, the Jays are in Houston tonight starting a three-game series. The Jays have been, I think, taking their P's and Q's from the Astros in terms of the way they're trying to build this team up. We know how bad Houston was back in the early 2010s. I mean, it was really awful there for a while, but it was about building it up with a guy like Springer and Correa and waiting for Bregman to hit and Altuve hit and all those guys. And I think, you know, Ross Atkins and company up here they've referenced that as basically a framework for what they want to do up here. And you're starting to see it kind of blossom with Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette doing what they're doing. Can you see the parallels in terms of where the Jays are today and maybe where Houston was in like 2015, give or take, and maybe on the verge of really pouncing and doing some damage?
Absolutely. I think you guys are on the right track and thinking that the Blue Jays are on that same path as far as developing good young talent. You know what's unique about what Houston and what the Toronto Blue Jays have done is they've actually kind of done it through the draft. When Jeff Luno was here, he did a really good job of narrowing his focus on the draft and drafting guys that he knew would fit into his organization, and he developed them appropriately. He brought them along together and broke them into the big leagues maybe sooner than most people thought, but they were able to cut their teeth a little bit and able to learn how to play in the big leagues so that when the time comes to go out there and win, they've developed that will to win together. And then what you saw this past offseason with what the Blue Jays and Atkins have done is added that veteran leadership, the George Springers, the Marcus Semien. He might be one of those, you know, not talked about enough is what Marcus Semien does. He's kind of one of those quiet leaders that we saw in Oakland playing and leading off. And then, you know, it's a shame that Kirby Yates isn't able to pitch, because that would have been a nice lockdown closer for some of the leads that the Blue Jays get. But that seems to be the formula, is to develop those players, make some key trades to get some good young talent, bring them up together, and then sprinkle in that free agent. And next thing you know, you're competing for a championship.
How do you assess what went down in New York this past series? It seemed like the fans were all over the guys. I don't think guys like Bregman really cared, but Altuve, it really, I don't know. I know he hit a bomb yesterday and it didn't really affect him, but it seems like that's wearing on him, isn't it? I mean, just the overall fans, the reaction, what do you make of it?
I think early on they handled it pretty well, going through Oakland and Los Angeles playing against the Angels, but I think New York was a different animal. They really got after them. You guys heard the vitriol and the viciousness of some of the attacks on them, and you're right in the sense that Alex Bregman is more, you know, maybe he's a little more calloused and can handle a little bit more than Jose Altuve, because Jose Altuve is one of the best human beings I've ever met in the game of baseball. And I believe that he's a lot more human than he is baseball player. And I think he took a little bit of that to heart, even though he was one of the guys that maybe wasn't talked about as much. But I think in combination of the sign stealing scandal happening during his 2017 MVP campaign is what kind of, you know, brought the ire of what New York wanted to bring to him. But you're right in the sense that it did affect them. I hope that this is the worst that they see. I know they have to go through Los Angeles and play against the Dodgers, where I expect it to be pretty bad again. But what they saw in New York, I know they're glad to get out of there and happy they only have to play there once.
Yeah, that was with a small amount of fans, too. I mean, relatively speaking. Wait until it hits capacity, man, when Yankee Stadium's loaded, because there can be a lot of people waiting for them, and it has not quieted down. I think they probably were hoping it would because we're another year removed, but clearly it has not. And Houston's going to take their licks, and they're going to have to deal with it. But as of now, they're still in a pretty good spot in terms of talent, in terms of standings, and in terms of expectations. So it should be a fun one tonight. Fun one all weekend. Enjoy it down there, Jeff. We really appreciate this. Thank you.
No, great being on with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a good one.
You got it. Jeff Blum, Houston Astros analyst. He was pretty great. Nice guy right there.
Very nice guy.
Thanks for being on with you guys.
Appreciate the opportunity. He had a little Al's brother in him. I feel like if he was
a sweetheart of a guy.
Yeah, just kind and, you know. Was it Al's brother that was wearing MJ's headphones the first time?
That was the initial interaction. That was really the introduction of Al's brother to the whole world, quite frankly. Yeah, that was when he first came on with us.
Because what happened, Noodles, you were away, I believe, and we had to do a segment.
Doing Jerry's or something.
Maybe it was Jerry's, and we're like, we needed a third guy. And Johnny claimed he had to do some stupid SportsCenter hit that he timed during our show.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like, thanks, Johnny. Like, you're either doing the show or you're not. And then we looked in the behind the glass, and we're like, Al's brother, you're in.
We called him in, man. Mariano Rivera with takes.
He came in like a closer.
Man. That I actually love the intro of Al's brother. Like, you can call me Al. That can never change, but he is a closer. Like, when it comes to takes, and he came bombing in like Rivera, and maybe we need some Metallica every once in a while. You know? Like, if we bring in Al's brother towards the end, the last segment of the show, I think it's got to be Metallica.
Yeah, like heavy guitar. Like, you know, Mulz loves like a heavy guitar. You know,
I can't
Night
stand
Train.
It. I can't even. I can't. Oh, no.
The intro to Night Train from Guns N' Roses?
Well, what was the Metallica song that Enter Sandman? That's what
Enter Sandman.
Rivera came in with Enter Sandman, which was just an exceptional vibe. I've been at Yankee Stadium when he's come out of the bullpen.
Isn't that something else? Yeah, like imagine walking into Yankee Stadium on the field with that playing and everyone going crazy for you.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
It was truly one of the coolest sporting events I've witnessed. It was against the Sox. It was like a 2-1 game, and he comes out for the ninth, and everyone's up. Up, and they're going nuts. And it was towards the end of his career, and he's the best of the best. I mean, when this dude came in, it was over. Like, you were basically playing an 8-inning game. Like, what a luxury the Yankees had for, what was it, 15 years? More than that.
Right.
This guy, you were playing 8-inning games, effectively, especially in the playoffs. He was even better. His numbers in the playoffs are off the charts. Mm-hmm. Rivera just didn't blow games.
Yeah.
You know, it never happened. It felt like it never happened.
He was an animal, though. Like, he
absolute
came in
animal.
And just threw heat.
He threw a cutter. That's all. He just threw, you know, basically one pitch. And he'd paint the corners, and people would be terrified. But it was cool, man. And maybe that's what we need out of Al's brother. If he comes on to close out a show, then it's Enter Sandman. Does that make sense?
I love that guitar riff. Okay.
Let's start today. Let's start today.
Enter Sandman will be the last song of the day. We'll play it. We'll have Al's brother in studio.
And he can do just a look forward to the weekend, what he's got on the go, what's up for the weekend, things to watch McDavid. And it's just the closing segment from Al's brother.
Absolutely. Great. And we got to play Harry Higgs launching one onto drink tent one more time down at Wells Fargo. No, we'll come back with that. Al's brother, Harry Higgs, a look to the weekend, Enter Sandman. There's a lot to look forward to here. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. There it is. Setting the tone. for Al's brother in studio to close out shop here. This is basically Mariano Rivera of sports radio. I mean, there's no one better to close a show and close a week out. And it's a beautiful way to wrap up Mail It In Friday on Overdrive, brought to you by Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill, because there's a lot going on this weekend. I'm watching the golf. Sunday's tricky. Mother's Day, shout out to the moms. My wife, I've got plans Monday, Sunday morning. It's you get up and you fire things up in the morning in terms of breakfast in bed and making sure the kids are all in line. And we've got dinner that I've already ordered that I'm going to pick up, supporting local. Yeah, shout out.
I'm sorry, waffles? Are you a big waffle guy?
I'm a waffle guy. We got the waffle maker, so it makes my life very easy. You know, the little flip thing or whatever. So I'll be doing that for sure, a little fruit.
I'm doing something outdoorsy this weekend. I am stuffing a cooler bag full of my faves, Coors Edge.
Yep.
And I'm going down by the water down here in Etobicoke, and I'm bringing my iPad and doing everything outdoors this weekend.
I can't stay inside. I can't do it. Yeah,
Let's hope it's good weather. I haven't seen the forecast, but I'll be.
It'll be brutal.
I'll be having a Coors Light. I'm going to chill. I don't do a lot of things well. I always feel like I can barbecue chicken well, but I am a waffle guy. I've got a waffle maker, the professional one, but I have a secret recipe, and I don't know. Like, I'll share it with you guys one of these days. But I have. My waffles, you can ask Steph, you can ask anybody.
Okay.
I do a waffle, a mean waffle.
I like it.
Fluffy, thick.
And beautiful.
Man, I put it together.
That's such a great meal. You can't go wrong with waffles. So, yeah, Mother's Day on Sunday, that's going to be a big part of the program. But the Wells Fargo, our boy Harry Higgs, it looks like he's going to miss the cut. Very disappointing. Yeah, I think he shot even par today, but he was 3 over on the day yesterday. So he missed the cut. The cut was at 1 over. So Harry Higgs is missing out. And we're missing out because we love the material that he supplies us. He's probably our favorite player on tour. And why don't we play this one more time before we get Al's brother in here, and Al's brother can truly set the scene for the weekend, because the Jays are in Houston. You've got a big game in the NBA tonight. The Leafs are back in action against the Habs tomorrow night. But this was from earlier today at the Wells Fargo down at Quail Hollow. On the 18th, Harry Higgs playing the 9th for him because he started on the back.
Harry Higgs playing 18, outrageous. Which again is the most difficult hole on the golf course.
What are we trying?
And from where? He's right on that cut line at 1-0. Oh, that hit the top of the tent.
What was he thinking with that club?
I just cannot get over how far left and short he was from
the
green.
Dude, not only do I want the sound, like the audio forever, I need the video, too. I need just how Gannon tees it up. Here's Harry Higgs. And then it just goes sideways after.
You know what? Like, don't you think 2 months from now we could maybe have Harry Higgs on again, like once the dust has settled? Maybe if he has a good tournament or something.
I think so. Monday. No, because it won't come off this.
But then we can circle back and go, do you remember that shot? Because he might, you know, laugh about it and be like, this is what I was thinking. But, like, right. Let's wait 2 months and, like, have some success for Harry and then have him on right away and we can ask that question.
I agree with that play. I think we wait until he finishes top 10 at some tournament, which is going to happen. Harry Higgs is in the mix. Yeah. He's a good player. When he finishes top 10, the grappler will start grappling. We'll reach back out. We'll get him back on. Ask him about the weekend. Hey, you played well, T10. That's awesome. All right, moving on now. Do you remember at Quail Hollow when you hit that 3-wood? You know, 75 yards left, 50 yards short off a tent. And what were you thinking?
Because had to take a drop behind the tent. But he did make a five.
He made five. Yep. So he must have got up and down then. Shout out to Harry Higgs. And you're right. I mean, he's doing the waggle. He looks good. He's feeling good. It's a shame we're going to miss out on him this weekend. Do we have Al's brother in studio? We had Al's brother on a little bit earlier.
Oh.
There he is. Yeah. Do you like the title of Mariano Rivera for Sports Radio? You come in to close the show. Is that too much pressure or what?
I mean, I'll take it. Like, he's arguably the best closer of all time. So if that's nothing but a compliment to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'll take that all day long.
All right, but it's big shoes to fill, Al's brother. We're talking about a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, he's was he the first guy ever to get a unanimous ballot too?
I believe he was.
Pretty sure,
so,
yeah. Which is pretty wild. Like, Babe Ruth didn't get one, but a guy who closes games.
It's
It's crazy. It was in automatically.
And there was Al's brother.
I was say there was one loser who didn't vote him for Jeter.
For Jeter, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. Al's brother prioritized the weekend events. What do you see coming up Saturday, Sunday? Priority-wise, importance-wise.
For myself, I'm really invested in this McDavid's hunt for 100. So I'm definitely going to have the Canucks-Oilers game on for sure. Leafs-Habs definitely going to be up there. I mean, you got the Wells Fargo for you boys, and I'm sure you're going to be keeping an eye on that one, see how your picks do.
Yeah.
But like for me, myself, my dad's birthday's tomorrow, and then they got Mother's Day on Sunday. So I don't know how much free time I'm going to have to watch sports this week. And so first of all, happy birthday, Pops, and happy Mother's Day to everybody. But I'll definitely, I think the McDavid for 100 is definitely going to be what is going to be my main priority to make sure I watch.
What do you fire up for a feed for your dad's birthday and Mother's Day?
Mother's Day, I'm not sure what we're doing quite yet on Mother's Day, but I know for my dad's birthday, we're doing like a charcuterie board. We go and get some beautiful cured meats and then do some chicken wings, and not the healthiest meal, but it's going to be delicious.
Beautiful, cured meats.
Oh, yeah. There's
Trump. Never heard of wings on a charcuterie board. Either. That is an absolute first for me.
Well, I'll tell you.
Are the wings like an appy or?
I'll tell you why.
It's a weird combo you just mentioned.
Well,
there.
My sister and my mother are doing like some keto diet thing, so they can't have like carbs. So we're just gonna load up on a bunch of meats, and doesn't love chicken wings? So we're going to have some wings to go with a bunch of Italian meats.
Hey, listen, I'm not being a hater, man. I love wings, but I've just never heard of a charcuterie board featuring wings.
It's awesome. Missing out.
I guess I am, and I got to look into it because I'm a fan. So I like it. All right, Al's brother. Yeah. See, you learned something. This is why he's Mariano Rivera. This is how you close out a week.
I could just see Al's brother as a guest at a dinner party. Honey, are you going to bring out the charcuterie board? And it's just loaded with wings.
Oh, I love it.
Here you go, Al's brother. Here's the charcuterie board.
Sounds
with
good to me.
70 pounds of honey garlic wings on the charcuterie board.
Assorted. What's your go-to flavor, Al's brother?
Buffalo wing guy. Yeah
straight Buffalo.
Yeah,
like
straight Buffalo. I mean, I'm right in Niagara Falls, right on the border. I am in Buffalo. I was before, obviously, things shut down. But
Is that a thing with people in Niagara? Do you pop across the border a lot?
Like absolutely.
Yeah, why not? I guess.
Yeah, we'll go. There's like a couple of spots in Niagara Falls, New York that have unbelievable chicken wings. So you pop in there, you have some pizza and wings, and you watch the game that's going on over there. And then maybe if you want, you hit up the Galleria Mall and you come back. You make a little bit of a day out of it. But that happens a lot in these border cities. I know Niagara Falls, you pick up some milk because it's super cheap. You get gas and then you come back over to Canada. But haven't been able to do that for a while. And I have family in the States too, in the Buffalo area. So, you know, haven't been able to see them in a little bit.
That's right.
Would the border guards like know you after? Is it like your Friday routine? You're like, I'm going down for wings, and like, oh, here comes Al's brother again. Here,
you
bombing.
You gotta have Nexus though, don't you? You can't wait in line for 2 hours to go get wings.
Oh yeah, no, you got to get Nexus these days. If you don't have Nexus, you live in a border city. What are you doing? Because that's 5 minutes right over. You're not waiting in a line. It's beautiful. Plus, it's great for flights too.
That's right. I don't know why that. That makes all the sense in the world, of course. It never dawned on me. I've never lived on the border necessarily, so I've never thought of it, but you're right. Like, if you're right on the border in Niagara, why wouldn't you pop over? Go hit the casino. Although there's a casino on this side of the border,
but
right?
But you get free drinks when you go gamble in the States. It doesn't happen here, so you can go and make a night
rules.
Of it.
Oh, yeah. Different rules. That's coming, man. If they put a sports book on that side of the border, that is what's going to shock a lot of people up here. Like, I know that's going on already. Down in Niagara, they're like, we got to get going here, man, with the sports book, because it's legalized in New York, and they're going to have it in Buffalo, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
And Canadians are going to pour across there to make bets and then just come home.
Be awesome. Like, I played junior in Lethbridge, which is close to Sweetgrass, Montana. We used to go down and get whiskey and cigarettes all the time.
Right.
You go down, like, you make a
gritty
trip
80 juniors.
You can get a full case of beer for a third of the price. You go over there, get a case for like $12, case of Coors Light, and away you go.
Right.
Yeah, you have to declare it at the border coming back. Like, you can't have your trunk full of all of it. But like, you get a carton of smokes and a couple.
And a charcuterie board.
And a charcuterie board.
Take your wings home with you. Exactly.
Have you ever gone, picked up wings, and brought them home? Like, have you had international crossings with a charcuterie board of wings?
One of the greatest dinners that, like, my family, my dad would bring home would be legitimately this place, Sammy's Pizzeria on Hyde Park Boulevard in Niagara Falls. He would literally go over, get a pie, and grab, like, 50 wings and just come home. And that was dinner. And I loved it.
That's,
oh, it was great.
Oh, outstanding.
That's a Friday night. That's a Friday night meal.
Big night. All right, shout out to Al's brothers. Dad, happy birthday, Mr. Al's brother, and all the mothers out there as well. Happy Mother's Day. Charcuterie boards for everyone this weekend. That's what I'll be getting into. Good seeing you, Al's brother, as always. Boys, have yourselves a great weekend. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the weekends. We're back Monday at...
I love Al's brother's charcuterie boards, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Oh! Yes, we will.